You know, when my church, when my son, he was last year, he was 6 years old. I told him one night I was preaching. I said, "Now, son, pay attention, pay close attention, because I'm going to be preaching tonight." And he said, "Will I get a reward?" And I said, "You always get a reward whenever you pay attention to the Word of God. That is a reward." Amen. And so regardless of your age or your understanding, again, think about the fact that Pastor Bob Nichols, over 50 years of ministry, and he still sits attentively and is in every service that he can get in. And that says something. It says that you never get to a point where you don't need it anymore. You know what I mean? We never get to a point where we don't need God, where we don't need church. We don't need a word from the Lord. And so I'm hungry tonight. I'm listening. Eight times in the Gospels, Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Seven times in Revelation, Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." So even if you have one ear. And then John in Revelation one time, he said, "If anybody has an ear, let him hear." So if you got an ear, if anybody has an ear tonight, then listen up. Genesis 15:1. God was talking to Abraham, and it says, "After these things," and see, Abraham had just passed up a reward. Whenever he went and rescued Lot and all those from Sodom and Gomorrah, if you don't know the story, Abraham went and rescued all those people that had been captive. And he came back with all these spoils, and the king offered him a reward and said, here's all the stuff. And he said, "No, I don't want your reward." So he refused that reward. But in the next chapter, look here in Genesis 15:1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Praise God. He is our reward. Amen. The title of tonight's message is "The Church Awakens." The Church Awakens. Praise God. I feel like the church in the United States as a whole has been mostly asleep in a lot of areas, and Christians have been mostly asleep. Thank God, not this church. But I believe that the church is awakening. The church awakens. And we need to pay attention to listen. I like a joke someone shared with me. Elizabeth Splon shared this story with me. This guy who came forward for prayer. He said, "Anybody need prayer? Come on up." And he came forward. As he came forward, he said, "What do you need prayer for?" He said, "I need prayer for my hearing." And so the evangelist stuck his fingers in his ears and started praying. Said, "In the name of Jesus." And he pulled out his fingers and said, "Well, how is it now?" He said, "I don't know. My hearing's not till Wednesday." He said he needed prayer for his hearing. And when he prayed for it, he said, "How's your hearing now?" He said, "I don't know. It's not till Wednesday. I have a hearing on Wednesday." Anyway, some of y'all will get that. Anyway, it's a courtroom joke. Speaking of courtroom, I sound like a stand-up comedian or something. Speaking of courtroom, I was actually at a pre-screening. I was at a pre-screening recently of a movie called God's Not Dead 2. And it's the second, obviously. You have to, if you haven't seen one, you need to see one first and then go see the second one. But it's coming out April 1st, I believe it is. And it's a great movie. The first one hit the area of how colleges basically blacklist anybody who says they believe in Jesus or even God now, where it's becoming very atheistic in colleges and they make anyone feel totally stupid if they believe in God. That was what one dealt with, and it just revealed a lot of that and became so popular even among non-Christian circles that people are really enjoying that movie. And now God's Not Dead 2 has come out, which comes from a different standpoint. But as I went to the pre-screening, the first movie, there were hardly anybody there. There were a few people there. And it was in Arlington. I went in. There were a few people, ministers, pastors in there. The second time I went for God's Not Dead 2, it was packed out. Packed out. And as I'm walking in, the guy who works for this company called PureFlix was standing there. And he looks at me and says, I know you. And I don't know. I said, I'm from Fort Worth. He said, yeah. And I said, Calvary Cathedral International. And he goes, yes, Pastor Bob Nichols, the guy who works for PureFlix, said 1985, I was with, was it Milt Green, I think, in Amarillo, 1985, Pastor Bob Nichols changed my life. Isn't that awesome? 1985. I said, well, praise God. He's still going. He's still changing a lot of people's lives. Praise God. And he wants to come by and meet you, Pastor, and just talk to you. But this company, PureFlix, is really making an impact on society. And this movie they have coming out now could not come at a better time. And what they're hitting on this one, there are several main topics, but it is like watching the news when you watch this movie. One, are the whole idea, and I won't give anything away, you can see this on the preview, is a lady who is fired for mentioning Jesus and his words in her classroom. She's a teacher in a public school, and they fire her. And in this one scene, she's sitting there at the in the boardroom with all these board members from the school, and they ask her, what were you thinking? What were you thinking quoting Jesus in school? And a student asked the question, is this like what Jesus said when he said, and she said, yes, Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those, much like Gandhi. But she got fired for talking about or mentioning quoting Jesus. And so there's a big court battle, and that's what the movie revolves around. And there also touches a point, another topic of how ministers have been subpoenaed, where they have to turn in their sermon notes to the mayor's office. And they have to be reviewed. And they have to make sure they're not saying anything anti-homosexuality in those, or it's considered hate speech. And so in the movie, I don't want to give anything away in the movie. You just have to see it. But there's a little bit of resistance to that. And we live in a society and in a day and age where our religion, our belief in Christ is being attacked. And it always has been, but never like this in the United States. We thought we were a free country. But if you think about it, why can we talk all we want to in a public school? Teachers can talk all day. They can teach about Gandhi. They can teach. I was in a school one time where they had on the walls all the Greek gods, and they were teaching all the kids all the Greek gods. They want kids were even art projects where was making a Medusa wig, all these things. The schools are not allowed to have anything to do with Jesus in the school, but everything else is fine. And there's something wrong with this. It's that antichrist spirit that is coming into the United States that's trying to raise its ugly head here. And people, unfortunately, are laying down under the pressure. They're giving into the pressure. Just like this business that was recently shut down, they would not bake a cake that had for a homosexual marriage. It was they made wedding cakes. And, you know, you can imagine a homosexual cake. What do you have, two men, two grooms, two brides on there? Whatever, we're not going to do that. They said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, then they got sanctioned by the government, fined $100,000 and put out of business for not doing that. Something's wrong with this picture. So then they start getting support. They went on this website where you can go fund people, and they started gaining support to get that $100,000. People all over the United States were sending money like crazy so to pay their deal. But that website found out about it and was pressured, so they pulled that website and sent everyone their money back and said, no, you can't help these people. That happened. Now tell me there's not something crazy going on in the United States. I'm telling you, we need to stand up while we can. That's why I'm so proud of this movie, kind of pulling the covers off of it, saying, look, if we don't do something quick, then we're not going to be able to do anything. The same people that are after our guns or they're after whatever, whatever, they're after our freedom is what they're after. I'm not like all this, hey, we got to have guns and all this. But I do say we need to have our freedom. When I was a kid, I heard this very often where we said, hey, it's a free country. You know, if you want to do something, sure, it's a free country. You can do that. You don't hear that anymore. People don't say that. Why? Because it's not a free country. Anything can be considered hate speech. Or just because you won't do what the government says to do when you have every right not to, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. But yet, people are falling prey to that all the time. And we need to stand with those who are being persecuted in our nation for their belief in Jesus Christ. There was recently a governor in Indiana. He signed what is called, let me get the name of this right, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And it's meant to protect people who have businesses like that, who if they don't want to do something like that, then they have every right not to do that if they don't want to. You can't make them do it. And again, it's a free country, right? I should have the right to refuse to do business or whatever. Now, obviously not over racial issues or anything like that. I'm not going to do something because of the color of somebody's skin, but you can't make me do something immoral because your belief says that I have to do it. It's immoral. If they had a cake that said, hey, this is an adultery cake, we're going to celebrate our adultery, I would say no. I'm not going to do that. Because it's sin, it's wrong. The Bible says so. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a sin to be black, to be Hispanic, to be white, to be whatever. That's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's like one minister said, don't compare your sin to the color of my skin. And so people are saying, no, that's like racism, that's discrimination. You can't do that. But it's not discrimination because it's a choice. What you do in your body is a choice. So, somebody has to stand up. Pastor Bob is a good shepherd, and the shepherd needs to stand up and protect sheep. And I appreciate that about Pastor Bob Nichols. Some pastors and some churches would never talk this way because they don't want to make any waves. But they're not awake. They're like, as Pastor has said, they're like dogs that can't bark. They won't bark. They won't do anything. People need to do something about it. People need to stand up and say something. But this governor, he started this law. And we're going to get to the positive side here in a moment. That would allow businesses to be able to, if it's against their religious belief, to stand up for what they believe. And as a result of that, the governor of Washington banned all travel to that state from the government, any government-funded travel, banned it from that state of Indiana. The mayor of San Francisco also boycotted Indiana. Seattle's mayor boycotted Indiana. Is this crazy? Other major businesses and these big CEOs boycotted Indiana. We're not going to Indiana. We're not going to build anything there. We're going to make them pay for wanting religious freedom. That's the day and age we live in. That's why this election that's coming up is so vitally important. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I'm just telling you what our issue that we're dealing with and why it's so important. People say, yeah, but wasn't this great that we've had these past years? This that we're living in today is a result of the past 8 years. There's an attack. There's an agenda. And so, what is our hope? Our hope is, first of all, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Our hope is in the blood of Jesus. It says that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, the Greek means freedom and confidence. We have freedom and confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have every right that Jesus' blood paid for. And that's also the fact this nation is a free nation. It's not only because of the blood of Jesus that paid for it, but also the blood of our forefathers that died for our religious freedom. And I pray, when I pray, I say, God, remember those men that fought and died so that we could be free. so that they could serve God, so that they could have religious freedom without dictatorship, without being told you cannot serve God the way you believe you should serve God. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the word of Jesus. Matthew 8:8. The centurion said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He had a revelation of the word of God, the word of Jesus, and how powerful it is. The word's powerful. 1 Kings 18:36, before Elijah called down fire, okay, he had all these, he was outnumbered. I think it's like 800 prophets of Baal against Elijah. And here he says, "All right, build this altar. Let's dump as much water as we can on it." And which God answers by fire is the true and living God. And as fire came down right before that, Elijah said, "God, at thy word, I have done these things." He said, "God told me to do this." And that proof was in the fire coming down and consuming that altar. And even the water in the ditch that filled up around it. It was supernatural. Luke 5:5, Peter said, "Lord, at your word, I will let down the net." And when he did, he caught a great catch of fish. At the word, what does the word of God say about the matter? That's the way we need to live. We have freedom to live what the word of God says. And at thy word, we'll have our freedom. At thy word, we'll have victory. It's not my opinion. My opinion makes every, it's not worth 5 cents. My opinion is worth nothing. In fact, my opinion, if it doesn't line up with God's opinion, is wrong. But if it's in the word of God, then it's right. And it's truth. And I'm telling you, people have been successfully living off of the word of God for thousands and thousands and thousands. Since the beginning of time, man has been blessed only as they lived according to the word. And when they got off of God's word and started living according to their own word, they always fail. They always flop. We have the name. Philippians 2:9 says, "Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, given a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth." That's why that name scares people in government. That's why that name scares the devil. Because at that name, every knee has to bow. And I know I'm not the one that makes them. See, I'm not going to say I'm going to kill you if you don't obey Jesus. Or I'm going to kill. I don't have to. Because I'm not the one you have to answer to. You have to answer to him. He's the judge. And so any person that says, "I'm going to behead you if you don't serve my God," that tells me their God is not God enough to do the job themselves. God doesn't act that. God doesn't do that. He doesn't tell us to do that either. And just like with Gideon, as Gideon was out, he was chopping down those trees that they were worshiping, and all those trees were chopped, and he did it at night because he was a little bit scared. And they came after him to his dad's house that next morning and said, "It was your son that did it." And there, his dad was a wise man. He cut down these trees to our God. We have to kill him. And his dad said, "Well, look, if your God is so powerful, let your God kill him." And they said, "Okay." Well, obviously, their God didn't kill him, because their God's not real. Not the true and living God. And so I would say, let us have a battle of the gods. Amen? We don't have to fight it out here with each other. All I have to say is, okay, if your God is God, then let's see what he can do. And if my God is God, let's see what he can do. I don't have to lay a finger on you. I don't have to do anything. Let God be God, and let every man be a liar. But we should never take that name Jesus lightly. It's the name above all names. When I was a kid, I remember going over a friend of my dad's. His name was Harold Bredesen. He lived in California. Pastor Bob knew him. He was a good man. And when he was, I believe it was the World Council of Christian Education, that when he was a young man, Harold Bredesen got a job there helping raise funds, the World Council of Christian Education. And as he was there, he started writing letters to people to get funding and to get support. And he happened to get the name, just to use the name of Vice President Harry Truman. And so as he would use that name, their funding went up. But then President Roosevelt died and Harry Truman became president. So now he had President Harry Truman's name. Harry Truman. Thank you. Charles is mouthing, helping me out here. Charles, come sit right up here. I'm kidding. President Harry Truman now. And then he started getting others, even international names, like I think it's Chiang Kai-shek or whatever the guy's name, Emperor of China. Taiwan, thank you. Thank you, Big John Hall. John, you sit over here. You come sit right over here. am I right? Help me preach this thing. Anyway, he started getting all these, and then he got the signature. He got this guy, his name was Eddie Rickenbacker. Anybody ever heard of him? He was like a World War II pilot hero. And he got his own personal stationery. He said, I'm going to send my personal stationery. You can write it on and send out your letters. Their funding went up 900%. For the World Council of Christian Education, the power of a name. And I'm telling you, there's no other name higher than the name of Jesus. And when it comes to lists, I don't care whose name is on that list. If it's not Jesus, I don't want my name on it. But if there's a list, if it's only one name and it says Jesus, then put my name on that list, because that's the list that's going to make it. Amen? That's the list that's going to make it. So you want to side with Jesus. It's the name above all names. The Bible in Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And praise God, our God is not dead. Luke chapter 10:17 says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. We have power. It's called the power of attorney. And he said to them, Jesus said, you know, I saw Satan falling like lightning out of heaven. Never forget that. Jesus said, I was there. I saw Satan fall out of heaven like lightning. I mean, so fast. That's quick. Gravity wasn't even an issue there. And he said to them, behold, I give unto you power, that authority. I give you power to tread on serpents. That word, the Greek word is exousia, which means authority. I give you the authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power, which is the Greek word dunamis, or ability of the enemy. I'm giving you the authority to trample over every ability of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So many times it's not something that we have to do. He didn't say, I'm giving you the ability to beat the devil. He said, I'm giving you the authority. I'm going to beat the devil. That's what he says. I'm giving you the authority, but I've got the power to back you up. So you don't, it's like, as one soldier going against an entire army, there's not much you can do. But when you have an entire army backing you up, you don't even have to have guns. You know what I mean? You can be unarmed and walk out there, and they're not going to mess with you because they see who's behind you. I like what Pastor Bob Seymour said one time whenever he was traveling. He was doing a ride-along, I think, with a police officer up in Canada. And he said they pulled these people over. And you'd have to know Pastor Bob Seymour, okay? You know, he's a pastor, he's a minister. He doesn't in the physical body look real intimidating. Let me just say that. And so they're getting out, and as they're out of the car, they pull over this car, and these people had warrants or something. It was some big deal for their arrest. And so the officer says, hang on one second, I have to go back to the vehicle, and leaves Bob standing right there. Pastor Bob, I should refer to him as the other Pastor Bob. And as they're standing there, one of the guys looks at him like, who is this guy? And so he asks him, hey, where's your gun? And they didn't know who he was, and he looks at him and he goes, I don't need one. And I just thought, how funny that is. I don't need a gun. Try me. Just try me. I'm telling you, we have power. The ability, the authority comes from God, and the ability is God's. And if you're getting run over, it's because you're not exercising your authority. You're not exercising your given authority by God. And just because you have freedom doesn't mean that it won't be challenged. It's going to be challenged. But just like a police officer who has the badge, he has that authority. He doesn't call the judge and say, hey, judge, people are speeding out here. Do something. He says, no, that's your job. I have the power to put them in jail, but you have to arrest them. You have to go out and tell them to stop. And in the same way, the devil's going to be doing things, and some people think, well, why is the devil doing all this stuff? God, why are you letting them get away with this? God says, I created you to do something about it. You go out there and tell them to stop in my name and use my signature. Use my stamp of approval. Here's my stationery. You go out and you do the work under my name and I'll back you up 100%. I'll fund you. I'll help you. I'll give you the ability, the power. I'm going to give you power. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can cast out devils and command them to go. Signs and wonders will be done through you as you go out and do them. So we've all been deputized and told to go out. The church awakens. The problem is all the deputies are asleep in the jail. And they got their guns taken away. Luke 10:20, Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thank God we are born again. Thank God we are saved. That's something to praise God over. I'm not getting on a power trip, but I'm giving him all glory and all honor. It's all him. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we're like clay jars in which this treasure is stored. The real power comes from God and not from us. And so I know this. I know that, hey, I'm nothing in the natural. But God in me is greater than anything I'll face. We have the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. And we aren't given power just to succeed. So many times in churches, one of the reasons the church is asleep is because they think, hey, we've got power so that we can be a success. And being a success is what it's all about. But being a success is only a step. The problem comes when people are a success and then they don't do anything with their success. He's given you power. First of all, the Bible says he's given us power to get wealth in the Old Testament. Why would God give you a power to get wealth? So he can establish his covenant. And he said, I'm giving you power to become witnesses. So we need to use our wealth. We need to use our covenant to be witnesses unto the world and to preach the gospel to the world. That's what that success is for. The problem is people think their success is just to retire, lay back, and live in luxury. That's a waste of success. That's failure. You failed. So we got to keep witnessing. We got to keep using the script. It wasn't long ago we had a man sitting right here on the front row worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he came soul winning with us, sat on the front row as I'm doing the training, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he didn't just tell me that, I know. Trust me, it is proven. And he said, I need what you have. That's what he said, I need what you have. And I'm thinking, I need what you have. Hey, let's get together. Maybe we can do something. Let's make a deal. I'll give you what I have. You give me what you have. It's scriptural. Hey, if we give our spiritual things, shouldn't you give your carnal things? That's what the New Testament said. Paul said, hey, if we sow into you spiritually, you should sow unto us physically. It's only fair. But and this guy did bless us. He blessed us really good, but it wasn't hundreds of millions of dollars. But anyway, I'm believing that's coming. But I thought it was interesting that after all his success, after all he had done, he was still sitting there hungry saying, I need what you have. I need to know how to win souls. That tells me that whenever you are successful, it will not satisfy you. That no matter how much money you have, no matter how much notoriety or fame or whatever it is that you get, it will not satisfy you, and you will die a failure if you don't reach the lost. And he understood that. He understands that. And I am blessed by that. And as we went out, the first lady he prayed with just started weeping, crying. And he was getting excited because he had led somebody to the Lord one-on-one. He had never done that. So keep witnessing. Keep using the script. You are a success every time you preach the gospel. It's a success. It's greater than anything you could do. It's greater than millions or whatever. If that's all you've got, but if you're using that money to reach the lost, then that's something. Don't be a successful failure. I led a guy to the Lord at the post office one day. Ashley led a kid to the Lord at the library one day. We've had people led to the Lord at the grocery store, in the malls, restaurants, stoplights. I've seen people pull up and lead people to the Lord at a stoplight. The word of God needs to be everywhere. The gospel needs to be preached everywhere. Hey, it's a free country. I remember, I've got to remember these things sometimes and rehearse them. Praying for the entire OU basketball team in a restaurant. And they, every one of them, prayed the prayer of salvation. The only time I've ever led people to the Lord where they all started clapping after we said amen. I think they received it. I remember being standing there on the Lincoln Memorial steps in Washington, D.C. as we were there doing that big crusade. And standing up in about 100 people sitting on the steps and saying, hey, everybody, I want to exercise my right of free speech. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? And then I just began to go, what the Bible says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As I preach the gospel, basically the Romans road to salvation. If you would like to pray this prayer, just say this after me with your heart and your lips out loud. Everybody say, Dear Lord Jesus. And you could hear them say, Dear Lord Jesus. People are pulling out their iPads, their iPhones, all these things filming this. Because here's this crazy white guy standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And then I saw, of course, one of the park guard guys coming down out of the memorial. We had those, whatever those hats are. And another guy was with him telling on me. You could see him. He was pointing. That guy right there. That guy right there. He's preaching the gospel. Get him. Get him. Get him. Get him. See, that's how the world is. It's like they don't have something better to do than give people who are preaching the gospel a hard time. Again, it's the Antichrist spirit. Well, he saw me, and when I saw him, I said, hey, I wasn't about to back down. Thank God for boldness. Sometimes boldness just comes on you. And after I emptied that backpack of all those books of Bibles that we had, that we were handing out, seeing Jesus as he really is, handing all those out, emptied the whole thing right there on the steps, I come headed straight for that guy as I'm walking up the steps. The guy with the hat turns around and goes back in the Lincoln Memorial. So I thought, I'm not going to let him get away. I'm going after him. So I walk in there, and I never knew this, but there's like a secret door in there. Because he walked up to a wall that you would not have known was a door, opened it up, went inside, and shut the wall. And I was like, well, praise God. It's like talking to a wall. Anyway, you got to remember what God has done. And we have to break up some hard ground in this nation. It's not like it is here in Fort Worth everywhere, but that really concerns me. Because there are places in Fort Worth that are hard ground. I've been in just about, not every, but just about every neighborhood and area in this entire city. If there's anywhere I don't know yet, please let me know. But we go out into just about every neighborhood all over the city. And I can tell you right now, there are places, and it's not people, it's not families, it's entire sections. Just like you would see zip code 76135, 76102, 76108. That area is toward God, or that area is against God. I cannot explain it. It's the strangest thing. We experienced this the other day, didn't we, Robbie? We went into an area, weren't they all... Every person just open and accepting, praise God, of the gospel. And just, yes, yes, this is great. We want this, y'all. This is awesome. Other places we go, no. They look the same type houses, but yet this different spirits. And I'm telling you, there are places where the gospel has not been preached, where that ground is hard. And you get there, and I believe... I'm just kind of experiencing this, but I believe those are places where the gospel has not been preached or there are not believers there in that area. There's not somebody that is actively plowing the ground in that neighborhood. And so we need to do that in our neighborhoods, in our family. You need to walk around your neighborhood praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you take charge over any prince of the power of the air in your area. Amen? You speak the gospel, because I've noticed that the first time, if you get somebody who is hardened to the gospel, or if they're just totally, if they've never heard the gospel before, the first time you hit it, sometimes it's like a pickaxe. It'll just ping. And a lot of people would just go, oh, I ain't going there again. But we don't do that. We're putting the seed in this ground. And if we have to keep hammering it, this is where I live, okay? This isn't some other place. This is where I live. And I'm going to ping. I spent yesterday much of the day drilling a hole. This tells you a little bit of my personality. I wanted to put a gate post in a certain place. And I found solid rock. And I spent much of the day yesterday with a hammer and a chisel drilling 2 feet through solid rock. And I am sore. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. And so as I busted through that, eventually I got through to the soft dirt underneath. Now, some of y'all are thinking, why didn't you just go get a jackhammer? Well, praise God, that's the power tool of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And in the power tool of the Holy Ghost, you hit that hard ground, you can just say, all right, come on, we're plowing through this. We don't just walk away. We're going to plow through this ground. We're going to keep coming and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And if they won't receive it, if it's just impenetrable, then that's something that's their choice. At that point, we shake the dust off of our feet and say, okay, Lord, you deal with that. You deal with that, because there are places like that. Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet. He didn't say, go in there and hurt them all, go in there and kill them all. He didn't say that. He said, just shake the dust off your feet, let me handle that. I'll deal with that. It's like when we were kids, we learned you don't take the matter in your own hands. If they won't give you what's yours, you don't hit them. You go to mom and dad and let mom and dad deal with it. So it's the same way. We've got God on our side. Hallelujah. So there will be resistance, but we keep going. We keep hitting it harder. Peter and John in chapter 3 of Acts, we're just about to wrap up here, had just healed a lame man who went walking, leaping, praising God. The people marveled at Peter and James and said, hey, they said, this isn't our own power or holiness that we did this in. They were giving God the glory. And they had this revelation. It's not because we're anything special. We're people just like you. It's not by our own anything. But it's by the power of God. And Pastor Bob said something this morning about, and I need to go back and listen to how you said it, but I caught it. I saw it. It was like a word picture today when you said that Jesus is the extension cord and he's plugged into the right throne, the throne room of God, the right hand of God. And I could just see that Jesus is that extension cord, God being the power plant. When you plugged into Jesus, you plugged into God. And although you couldn't plug into that power plant because it would totally overload your circuits and blow you up, Jesus is he's the infinite God in finite terms that we can appropriate. And he is that extension cord that is plugged into God. And then as he came to his disciples, he said, plug into me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he said, I'm going back to the Father. So I'm reeling this extension cord back in. But don't worry. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm sending you wireless electrical energy. Isn't that awesome? You know, they can transfer electricity now wirelessly. They have that where you can just set your phone on something and it will send waves to it, charge it up. I'm telling you, I know it's possible because God's done it already, that it's possible that every electronic device will someday be wireless and it'll be powered just through the air. But that's what God did when he sent the Holy Ghost. He said, go wait until you be endued with power from on high. And it's not radioactive. It won't kill you. It will help you. Because they could do that now if it weren't for the fact that those microwaves and everything would kill us all. But God said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And he was just an extension cord that everyone would have to, you had to touch him. People were pressing in. The woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch him. And then one person got a revelation. Hey, if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. He has power to transmit without even touching. And then Jesus said, I'm about to light you all up. The church awakens. You're like all these computers that have been dormant for years and years, just sitting there dead, not doing anything. And all of a sudden, supernaturally, when you thought your batteries were dead, you're charged on the inside from the Holy Ghost as he's transmitting from the throne room of God and says, boom, I'm beaming every one of you, not only power, but also information. I'm downloading and I'm powering you up and you're becoming activated to do the work of the ministry, to do what God's called us to do. It's more than just being a success. There's a purpose for the power. And I'm believing God that there are many, many churches and places where people have been kind of heaped up and they've been gathered together, but they haven't had the power. And the power of God is coming. It's being unleashed. And they're going to open themselves up and receive it. And as soon as they get to that signal where they will receive what God's transmitting, boom, that entire group is just going to come alive. Just like the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. Can these dry bones live? And yet, he said, prophesy to those bones. Command them to come together. Command muscles and sinew. And they came together, an exceeding great army. And I'm prophesying to the United States that the dry bones of the church are coming back together. And muscles and sinew and flesh is coming on the church. And then the Holy Ghost is going to breathe life into those people. And that the life of the Holy Ghost is going to cause them to be an exceeding great army. And I'm telling you, this is not a fight we're going to lose. This is not a fight we're losing. This is a fight I guarantee you we win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we're not going to be afraid of people's threats. People are going to threat. I'll be respectful. I'm going to come in the spirit of Jesus. Because Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to love the world. He didn't take part in their sin. There's a difference. Some people think that in order to love me, you have to do what I do and accept everything I'm doing. No. I accept you, but I don't accept the sin. But God says, I'll accept you. You come as you are. But you've got to humble yourself to do that. And you have to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know this is wrong. And the fact is, a lot of people, even in the homosexual community, they know what they're doing is wrong. But they say, what is the difference between this sin and any other sin that there is out there? I mean, hey, it's all sin. But this sin doesn't hold, for instance, most sins don't hold parades saying this is okay. Or we don't put adultery, fornication, nation on our White House. We don't do that. But the fact is, as the church is asleep, and as the church is not living right, the church will have no conviction anymore. And then if the church doesn't get right with God first, if the church doesn't get the beam out of our eyes to see clearly, to get the speck out of our neighbor's eyes, What kind of position are we going to be in? And that's something that only really the power of God can do. But it comes to humbling ourselves. Just like every one of these disciples always humbled themselves. And they said, hey, look, it's not us. It's him. It's not me. It's not by my own goodness. But it's his goodness. And the power of God doesn't give us freedom to sin. It gives us freedom from sin. And there's a difference between a sin that says this is right when it's not. I would much rather deal with a sinner who says, I know what I'm doing is wrong and I want to change, than a religious person who says, I never sin. Acts 4:25, last verses, says, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why does this happen? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. It's the same spirit today. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. We got to speak the word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, we need to lay our hands on people. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. He was saying, Lord, give us boldness to speak your word, to lay hands on the sick, and to do signs and wonders. God, give us that boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. We need to get filled up with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if you've ever dealt with sin, and Lord knows, there are things in my life that I don't believe I would have been here if it weren't for the fact that the Holy Ghost came and touched me here at Calvary Cathedral International. I guarantee you I would not be here if it had not been for what the Holy Ghost did in me here at Calvary Cathedral International. I was raised in church my whole life, but I had been bitter about some things. I had seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and some of it was so ugly, I said, I don't want anything to do with that. That's why whenever we're reaching the lost, many times we don't tell people we're from a church, just because their idea of church is not our idea of church. The church they went to was terrible. There were bad things going on there. The church looks worse than the world a lot of times. And so that was me. I had seen a lot of churches that if they weren't totally of the devil, if they weren't like the mafia, then they were crazy, flaky, weirded out, and chasing UFOs. And I didn't want anything to do with the church. But I came here, and I realized that, you know what, no matter what shape the church is in, even in Jesus' day, Jesus still made a habit to go to church. So did Paul. Even in their day and age, as evil as it was, they still made a habit to go there. Because you're part of the answer. You are part of the answer. Don't let a fence keep you out of church. Climb over that fence. Knock that fence down. Don't let a fence keep you out of church. But I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. Like I said many times, I'm not up here saying that the world has all these problems, the world has these issues, and we don't have any issues in the church. I know the Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, no matter how holy any person may seem, no matter how straight you think you've lived your life, I guarantee you there are sins that you've committed in your life that you might think is no big deal, that is a stench in the nostrils of God. Sins like pride, that's a big one with God. Satan fell like lightning out of heaven for pride. Have you ever been in pride? Then you've sinned. Again, there are things in our lives we tend to look at and say, well, this is no big deal. But again, we all fall short. So far short, we can't even compare ourselves. And I'm not comparing myself to anybody else of any religion or any sin or classification of sin to say I'm better than you are, or that any one of us are any better than anyone else in here. We're all in the same boat. If we don't know Jesus, if we've not asked him to forgive us of our sins, so I want you to search your heart right now and ask yourself, have I made Jesus the Lord of my life? Have I asked him to forgive me? Have I humbled myself and said, yes, Lord, I have blown it. I need a Savior. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You don't want that paycheck. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And whosoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. Again, any race, any religion, any whatever place you're in. I've known people that were facing some of the toughest things. You might say, well, homosexuality is a big sin. I knew a man who was homosexual, who got born again, delivered, set free of that lifestyle, got married, had two kids, and was totally delivered from that. That's awesome. He called me not long ago. This was 20 years ago. That guy called me not long ago and said, I'm still serving the Lord. And I sing in the choir at church. I said, praise God. That's awesome. That's what God will do. And whatever it is you're facing, I can't help but look at people all over this room and say, you know what? It's amazing how God has brought people through. And they're still serving God today. God can and will keep you, but you have to want to be kept. Too many people, they find themselves sliding back, or they find themselves getting away from God. And what they do is they just kind of give up. They just throw their hands up and say, oh, well, no sense in even trying anymore. And they just give them to the devil. Don't do that. Again, whosoever calls on the Lord shall be saved, even if you're backsliding. In fact, that's God, his eye is on you. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head. He's very mindful of you. And all he's asking is for you to call out for help. There's no shame in that. Let's all stand right now. Let's all stand, if you wouldn't mind. Let's all stand, but keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just out of reverence to the Lord, out of reverence and for prayer.